This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey everyone, Dre Redfern here.
And Alexis Neely.
And welcome to the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, where this week we have something pretty cool, pretty exciting of what you can do to protect your reputation as an attorney, you know, basically manage your reputation in the event that anything does happen, you get some negative reviews or anything occurs, how to mitigate it, and then how to tee yourself and your business up for success by maximizing some positive reviews in your business. So a lot of really cool stuff we're going to cover today, Allie.
Yeah, and this is somewhat edgy because, you know, anytime anybody is getting negative reviews, we may be tempted to not talk about it, hide it, maybe take it personally. And as a result of that, we might make some bad choices. And so what we're doing here today is surfacing that negative reviews, if you're doing anything online and making any kind of impact, it is to be expected that you're going to see something written about you that is not what you want to see online. So the question is, how do you handle that in a way that like turns it around and really creates the best outcome for your law practice? Now, the first thing that we're going to start with, though, is hearing about something that's unlikely to happen to you, but is a big experience that Dre and his wife went through for several years, resulted in a massive lawsuit that they ultimately won, but ruined his wife's photography business. So let's talk a little bit about that, Dre, and then we'll talk about how it can apply to lawyers. We'll talk about my situation of handling, I wouldn't even call it negative reviews, but a bunch of anonymous people writing not very nice things about me. And we'll talk about what the lawyers can do if it happens to them.
I love it. Well, to lead this off, this story actually begins about 4 years ago or so now, where my wife at the time had run a 13-year successful photography studio where she served billionaires, celebrities, professional athletes, really the upper echelon of clientele, and would photograph their weddings. So you can imagine how lavish these weddings are. They're multi-million dollar weddings. And you know, she eventually had a series of company photographers who she trained in her method, who would film, you know, or who would photograph some of these lower budget weddings in order to just really grow this photography studio into something really special. Well, fast forward, you know, 13 years, successful business, you know, really one of the highest earning photographers in the nation. And she had taken on a client, that one client that ended up not wanting or not liking the contract that they agreed to. And part of this contract, and you could read all about this, you know, probably just by Googling it, but part of this contract was that they had to pay a $125 fee, complete their album, and then their images would be released to them. Well, that's a very standard process for photographers. And these two individuals, this couple, signed it, no problem. And then they loved their images. And when it came down to actually making the decision and paying this final fee for the contract, they were up in arms. And sort of this, you know, I hate to, because I would classify myself as one, but it's that millennial, you know, sort of entitlement. And I, you know, I'm a millennial, but I don't necessarily consider myself entitled. That's what these people were. And they, you know, multiple threats were made, and they eventually ended up going to one of these, you know, on your side sort of reporting, you know, agent or reporters down at the local news station and fabricated this story. And sensationalized it, and the news took it and ran with it because, you know, it's a poor couple who is, you know, being taken advantage of. And the actual wording was the photographer holding their images hostage. Like, my wife was a terrorist. And these people just didn't want to agree to the contract, even after we agreed to waive this fee, even after we had done everything right to try and appease them, they still went to the news. Well, That, you know, a few days later, the story airs, and that night, the 13-year-old business was literally burned to the ground in a matter of 2 minutes during this news spot, because this bride happened to be a blogger, and she had, you know, approximately 40 to 50,000 followers on social media at the time, and she got what the jury would later, you know, be told is this internet lynch mob of people to basically destroy my wife's business, her reputation, people giving death threats, people saying that my wife gave them AIDS, you know, so many different things.
What?
Awful. Oh yeah. The one of the reviews that was left on Yelp said the photos, the photographer gave me AIDS, photos were okay. One star. Oh yeah. So I mean, it's unbelievable, but 13 years, the wedding wire, the knot. And then when you become radioactive like that, no wedding planner, no referral, no, nobody wants to go around you. And so you have a successful business literally implode overnight. Wow. And so, you know, at that point in time, what do you do? How do you combat something when your life and your business is literally burning to the ground around you? And what do you do? Well, you know, having been in marketing for, you know, many years at this point in time, I knew we had to do something, and sitting sort of idle wasn't going to be the solution. And so we published an open letter, and this will give you some perspective over how viral the story went so quickly. We published an open letter after we had, you know, sought counsel and got sort of a game plan in order. And this open letter was read 1.2 million times in 195 countries in the first 48 hours that it was online. Because, you know, the first one was sensationalized with, you know, this poor couple, but the second one was, I'm a business owner. I did everything right. They didn't abide by the contract. Now my life is in ruins because they wanted to go get their 15 minutes of fame. Mm. And for the business owners out there, like, taking the stand is like, the customer is not always right. Yes, you need to appease them to a certain degree. And yes, you need to do what's right, but they're not always right. And that was really shared a lot. And that really, you know, turned the tides of public opinion in our favor. Well, then we obviously filed a lawsuit. You can read all about that online. And over the course of 3 years, we went through, you know, defamation lawsuits are notoriously hard to win because the number one thing that you have to prove is damages. Well, we had that really, you know, pretty much on lock, because you go from having an incredibly successful photography business to zero overnight. And then went through the slap proceedings, which is, you know, this defamation statutes and things that are being implemented in a lot of different states, and then appealing those, and then mediations and depositions, and eventually a week-long jury trial 3 years later. And that jury trial ruled in our favor to the tune of a seven-figure judgment. Wow. And, you know, it really goes to show, like, that, you know, like I said, the customer is not always right. And we were lucky enough because we could afford the lawsuit, even though it destroyed us and it sent us, you know, $500,000 upside down in the grand scheme of things, and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in credit card debt to fight this lawsuit. We eventually won. And it really goes to show that, you know, standing up for what is right and what you believe in, there is something to be said for that, because, you know, as soon as that lawsuit was won and the jury read the verdict, it's just, as you can imagine, just absolutely just amazing, having fought this battle for 3 years in the public eye. Well, that following week, there were 400 million impressions that this story got, because it was, you know, photographer lashes back, the business, you know, business owners especially share the story, because I'm sure there is, every single person listening to this can probably relate to this on some sort of level, where someone left a nasty review or something that was inaccurate or untrue, and we all wanted to figure out how to make it right. And this story was a sort of vindication for a lot of business owners, even if it wasn't directly impacting these other businesses. And it went just incredibly viral. I mean, over 150 publications, and then obviously all of their massive readerships. And, you know, looking back on this, because it's been, you know, a year and a half or so since it's happened, and it's one of those things where you look back and say, well, if we could do it again, would we? And, you know, my wife, Andrea, and I, we don't necessarily have that answer yet. However, we've learned so many things to help other individuals, other businesses protect themselves, number one, from these things potentially occurring, because there's a lot you can do on the front side to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. But also in the event that, you know, if the world is coming crashing down and burning down around you, what can you do to actually mitigate your damages that you may expose or be exposed to, as far as the preservation of your reputation?
Yeah.
So I'm sure we can talk a little bit about those here in a minute, but at least that's sort of a background of, you know, this stuff is important. This stuff, you know, is successful, a 13-year-old business, and something comes out of right field because of an entitlement mentality where someone saw an opportunity for their 15 minutes of fame to gain some followers, and look what happened. And so no one is sort of sitting out there, you know, in a sense that would almost leave them completely unexposed, but there certainly is some exposure that every business has just by simply operating and being in business.
Yeah, I mean, I've often considered this for myself, because as my reputation in general grew, as I started to do TV and I started to put myself out there more and I wrote my book, and then especially as I started to let out more of my authentic self, like, you know, I have an artist personality, a very creative personality. And as I started to let my full self be seen online, I started to experience many people, almost in every case anonymous, commenting negatively. And it was something that I had to face for myself, is what am I going to do about this? If I had known who they were, would I have pursued the road that you did of a defamation lawsuit? Maybe. In my case, the people who were, they weren't leaving bad reviews. They were really commenting on my personal life choices about how I raise my kids and the things I wear and, you know, the kinds of things that people, I guess, do to celebrities. And while my celebrity was very minor, I guess it was enough to attract the attention of people who like to gossip about other people online. And, you know, the way that I chose to handle it, because I didn't think that I had any other recourse, was to ignore it and continue to focus on doing the good work that I was doing in the world. And gratefully, my business was not only not ruined because of it, but I think in many ways enhanced, because it acted as a filter. You know, it filtered out any lawyers that would read online gossip and then not want to work with me. Great. Those are not lawyers I want to work with anyway. And it created this kind of a filter. In your wife's case, it completely sabotaged her business. So you going down the road of defamation lawsuit, and of course, knowing who it was and knowing that she was in the right, makes a lot of sense. And even though it took 4 years of your life, that's huge. And, you know, as we know, in terms of collecting judgments and all of that, I'm sure you can't talk about it, but my guess is that you will really ultimately only be able to recover a fraction of, you know, that time, energy, and money investment. So let's talk about how this might apply to, you know, your everyday lawyer who wants to become the ultimate attorney in their community and is looking at how to protect their reputation in the process. How to, you know, what can they do proactively so that they don't end up in a situation where they're facing, you know, having to go down the road of a defamation lawsuit, or even, you know, having to deal with, you know, anonymous reviewers who are, you know, leaving negative posts, like on that Yelp review for your wife. We actually had a situation like that recently. You know, we run Facebook ads at New Law Business Model, and we got a negative review on our Facebook page from somebody who apparently didn't like that our Facebook ad showed up in their messenger. So they gave gave us a 1-star review on Facebook. Now, this has a significant impact, right? We've got, you know, 5-star reviews from our members, the people who pay us, and then we get a 1-star review from somebody who's not even a lawyer because she doesn't like that our Facebook ad shows up in our messenger. Now, gratefully, we were able to message her and say, hey, why did you leave us this 1-star review? And she responded and said, well, I'm getting too many ads in my messenger. And we said, okay, well, we, you know, didn't intend for that to happen. And, you know, would you mind taking this down? And she did. And she did. So that is, by the way, one way that you can deal with if you get a negative review. First of all, take a look at what is the message that you're getting from that negative review. Is there something that you actually need to address? Is there something that you need to address? So in your wife's situation, she, it sounds like, reviewed her contract process, saw that she had done everything right, and decided that, you know, she wasn't just going to kind of take the fall for this and say, okay, this was something that she needed to fight. And, you know, you've got to be willing to look at that, because it could be that a negative review is giving you really good feedback that shows you where you need to improve. Okay, so that's first and foremost, is be willing to look at where negative reviews might be showing you something that needs to be improved, and then see if you can go to the person who left you the negative review, like we did with this woman in the in our Facebook group, to say, or our Facebook page, to say, hey, here, you know, what's going on? How can we address this with you so that we can turn this negative review around or have you remove it? I wish that I had that opportunity with the people who talked about me online, but they're all anonymous. So if you have the opportunity to do that, I think that's step one. Do you agree with that, Dre?
I do. And it also depends on, you know, there's some softwares and tools that we can offer or connect people with that also help to mitigate some of that stuff up front. And the other side of this is, you know, a lot of times if someone is upset, when anyone's upset, you have two options. You can either respond or you can react. And a lot of people, when the emotions are high and they're frustrated with a business, they react just really quickly, just not even thinking, and react. And that's, you know, what that woman did. Just, I see an ad, I'm going to go to the page, I'm going to leave them a nasty rating simply because this is my way of getting back at them for having some ads. Like, they feel vindicated.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of a bunch of BS in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, the really successful businesses don't just react to that reaction, they respond.
Yes.
And, you know, and before they even do that, you know, there's a variety of software tools, and, you know, we can do it actually an audit for free. If any listeners who are listening to the podcast, you can just go to ultimateattorney.com/reviews/reviews. And we can do a full audit of your entire online presence for free. Like, there's absolutely no charge for this to really help our listener base really overcome some of these challenges. Because if you know what's out there, you can basically mitigate some of that stuff easier. And on top of that, if you actually, once you have this information, there's a variety of software tools that you can use where if someone is absolutely just, you know, so mad at you or whatever the scenario may be, if you ask them to leave a review and they choose to only leave you 1 star or 2 stars, instead of basically allowing them to post this review online, it basically opens up a comment box where they can vent their frustrations and then send that to you in more or less an email behind the scenes. And what this does is it essentially allows them to sort of, you know, take the pressure valve off a little bit on their frustrations, you know, alleviate some of that anxiety or whatever it is that they're feeling, and then stop them from going the next step to posting it all over and obviously doing harm to your business. Mm-hmm. The other side of this is if they rate you 3, 4, or 5 stars, it will then allow you to, you know, choose which channel you want that to be posted to, whether that's Avvo, whether that's Facebook, whether that's Google, whether that's the BBB. Mm-hmm. All of these different platforms that you can then decide. And so there's really a lot of ways that the smart business owners are taking control of this ahead of time to reduce, you know, mitigate and often eliminate a lot of the concerns that they would, or the concerns for negative reviews that might otherwise be sort of sitting out there simply by using some software tools and then reacting or responding instead of reacting.
Yeah, I think it's a really great idea that for every client that you work with, you proactively send them a request to review you. It's going to help you in a number of ways. Number one, if you get that negative review, you're going to be able to address it and see where do you need to improve. There could be places in your law practice that you need to improve that you are not aware of. And you don't want to continue to blindly go along making people unhappy. Instead, you want to know where you can improve and where you can do better. And you might not be asking for those reviews because you might be scared to get a negative review. Well, if you're utilizing the service that Dre is talking about here, then you don't have to be afraid of that. You can get the negative reviews or the, you know, feedback that says that you need to improve, and you can address it. And at the same time, you can hear about what you are doing right, and you can have those reviews posted online. So I think that's a really great idea. What is the URL for the assessment again, Dre?
ultimateattorney.com/reviews. And there'll be a little button there where individuals can basically fill out a form with the contact information, their primary URL. And we have a software that will go out and basically find all of the reviews across all of the platforms and then basically aggregate that into one single report that we can give the listeners just as a free added bonus for listening to the podcast.
And by the way, you might not have any reviews online, and that is equally not good for you, right?
You're exactly right.
Yeah, today when you know somebody's considering hiring you, they're going to look online to see who else has hired you. What do they have to say? And so again, you really want to take control of this proactively. Now, I do want to say one thing, that if you are practicing law in the traditional way, and you all have heard me talk about this before, you're not being an ultimate attorney. Instead, what you're doing is, you know, constant focus on the next new client, creating documents for people that are probably not, they probably don't even understand when they sign them. They take them home, they put them on a shelf or in a drawer, they never look at them again. You're not really being a counselor to them, or, you know, maybe you're a litigator and you've allowed your oppositional nature to come into conflict with your clients one too many times, or, you know, perhaps your billing policies aren't so clear. Maybe you're still billing by the hour, or even in 6-minute increments. You're sending out invoices that don't get paid, right? Many of these ways are the traditional ways that we have learned to practice law. Or maybe you're so busy and overwhelmed because you don't have systems in place, so you're not able to return phone calls on a timely basis. These are the ways that lawyers get bad reputations. I mean, it is just a fact of reality that we do have to face as lawyers, that the legal profession as a whole has a bad reputation. And I personally see it as your responsibility as an ultimate attorney to step into a new way of practicing law that changes the way people see attorneys. You went to law school to help people. And the best way to help people is to become a trusted advisor to the people in your community, to create the systems that you need in order to make sure that you can get phone calls returned. Not that you need to return all those phone calls, but that the phone calls get returned on a timely basis, that you've created the systems in place so that you're setting clear expectations, so that you're staying in really great communication, so that somebody doesn't write you a check and then fall into a black hole and wonder when they're going to hear from you again, so that you are able to educate, inform, and empower your prospects and your clients to make great decisions for their families and for their businesses, where they know that they can count on you to be there for their family or for their business when they can't be. And in order to do that, you really do need to, in my opinion, learn to practice law in a new way. And that's what's going to allow you to be the ultimate attorney in your law practice and in your community, and, you know, create the kind of reputation. And in my own practice, what I could say is that when I had my private practice, working with me in my community became like a status symbol. The families in my community, that was the reputation in my community. The families in my community, you know, had their plan done by Martin Neely and Associates. And that's the kind of reputation that you want to have in your community, where working with you is like a status symbol. You're not a discount service. You are, you know, providing what we call affordable premium fees to people who are looking for an experience with a lawyer, and not just a set of documents, not just an escalation of conflict. So, you know, again, that to me is what it means to be an ultimate attorney. And when you're doing it that way, you're going to be able to receive any feedback as an opportunity to grow and evolve and do even better for the people in your community.
You know, you're exactly right, Allie. And I think you actually touched on something there a second ago that we haven't even mentioned yet. And that is that a lot of attorneys don't even feel like they need or want the reviews. The issue is that your competitors are getting smarter. And the way that currently reviews are ranking is basically helping certain businesses with their SEO if they have more reviews. Mm. So here's a perfect example. If you pull up attorney in wherever your city is, well, for me it'd be Dallas, maybe it's Tuscaloosa or San Francisco or wherever, then Google is going to basically show a map of the attorneys and rank them based on the reviews in that front page of Google now. Mm. If you don't have any reviews, you will not show up on that list. As an ancillary benefit, once you have 150 reviews on Google, then the stars, these little orange stars, show up in your ads if you run Google AdWords. That means that all your other competitors will essentially be running, you know, regular traditional ads and just textual ads, and you will have an extra pop of color, an extra ranking, an extra all of these things that help basically get a better conversion on your ad. And that's just not like hyperbole. When I first learned about this last year, we pushed hard on it. We've got over 700 five-star reviews in one of the brands that I'm an owner of. Wow. And once we hit that 150 threshold on Google, our cost that we were spending every day was the same, but our conversions went up by 18%.
Wow.
Meaning that they were basically primed better ahead of time to basically click on that we were ranked better than the competitors who were showing up under those same keywords. And even though we were spending the same, we got significantly more leads that came through the door. So these things actually matter, not only protecting your reputation and like preserving it from that standpoint, but you can also use this because it's still sort of the wild, wild west. Yeah. Take advantage of it and also use this to positively grow your business as a lead gen strategy.
That's amazing. We're going to get right on that because I'll be honest, we have not consciously cultivated reviews at all. No, I didn't realize how important they were to really this, if we haven't started running Google Ads yet either. So before we do that, we are definitely going to make sure that we are cultivating reviews, and I'm going to have my team go take that assessment at, tell me the URL again, Dre.
UltimateAttorney.com/reviews. Any of the listeners, we'll usually charge $50 for it just because it takes a little bit of time and we want to at least recoup some cost on that. Mm-hmm. But for any listener to the podcast, we'll give it away completely free just to help you get started managing and really managing successfully your reviews in the positive direction.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to do that for my company. Y'all should do it for yours as well. And we will be back with another episode. I think in our next episode, Dre, that we should talk about time and whether or not you are really using your time in service to a life and law practice you love, where you might be leaking time without even knowing it, and how fear plays into all of this, how your fear might play into all of this. So if you want to see where you're leaking time and start to take back your time, I bet we could save you 5 to 10 hours a week at least with what you're going to learn in the next episode.
I love it. Looking forward to it. We'll see all of you in the next episode of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. Hey there, Dre Redford here, and I have one last thing for you. If you haven't already done so, please go to ultimateattorneypodcast.com to access all of the resources and free downloads that we've discussed in this episode and all of the other amazing episodes on the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. While you're there, be sure to look on the right-hand side of the page to enroll to receive some of our free premium content simply by entering your name and email address. Now, when you do that, you'll be the first to know when we release a new episode. You'll get all sorts of expanded resources and additional content that is only available exclusively to the listeners of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. And while you're at it, as we said earlier, please be sure to share this episode with your friends, your family, and other attorneys who may benefit from this episode, because whoever shares these episodes and the Ultimate Attorney Podcast the most this month will win a product from either Ali or myself that's valued between $1,000 and $3,000. So what are you waiting for? Go share the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.